You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 21. It is Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. Now, this is a huge day for us to be able to think about journeying to the cross, journeying to Easter. So as you're getting there to Matthew chapter 21, I want to just tell you a couple things that are going on that are going to be amazing that you're going to want to be a part of. First of all, I want you to know I miss you so much. As your pastor, I wish I could just see you face to face. I wish I could just give you a hug right where you are. I wish we were able to have the rooms filled so we could be shaking hands and being able to minister to one another in that way. But that's just not the season that we're in right now. But I want you to know that ministry has not stopped. Though we have not been able to have the handshakes and hugs that we typically have and that we love, though we miss one another in our life Bible study classes and all the things that are happening, but ministry is continuing to go on. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we're going to have a prayer time. Log on and watch that. We've had thousands watching that throughout the nation. It's been amazing seeing that. Let's pray together and continue to pray. Thursday night, I'm so excited about it. We've been looking forward to it. We're going to have Broken for You. It's going to be incredible. Our guest speaker is a hero from Black Hawk Down. If you remember, in Somalia, we sent troops in, a helicopter went down. He was one of the Army Rangers that was going in to rescue people. He is going to be speaking to us, sharing Christ, talking about Broken for You and his experience in that. So invite some friends. It's going to be amazing. We couldn't get him to Houston. He's going to be broadcast from Atlanta into us, into our homes, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. So you're going to have to get your own juice, your own bread, your own crackers. We put a little recipe on our website with Broken for You of how you can make unleavened bread. So maybe you want to do that as a family. And then Easter Sunday, let me tell you, Easter Sunday is going to be incredible. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have 12 hours of hope is what we're going to have. Easter Sunday, beginning at 7 a.m., we're going to have services broadcast online. 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7. 7 services from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and we're going to be able to have a great time with that so that you can watch and then you can invite somebody to another one. Have you been to church yet? Have you watched online yet? Oh, you got to hear this. You got to see this and have them then come to be a part online. Easiest invite you could ever give so they could see it every other hour on the hour, 7 times from 7 a.m., sunrise service to 7 p.m., 12 hours of hope. That's where we're headed this week. It's going to be a tough week from what we're hearing for the United States. But yet through all of these tough things, we're going to be able to give some hope that is there. It has been a strange few weeks. There's no doubt about it. We're all kind of like, am I in a sci-fi film? Is this something going on that I mean, what is happening? Somebody asked me, well, how do you feel? And this maybe would describe how you feel as well. I said, I feel like I was sitting on an airline and I was drinking a Coke, eating peanuts, watching the in-flight movie, and someone shoved me out the door. That's what it feels like. And then we went through free fall for a while, and now finally the chute is open. We're like, okay. But we've still got weeks to go on stay at home. We've still got a long way to go on this whole thing, it seems. And we're going to have great endurance. So you may feel just like that, like everything was going great. And all of a sudden now you've lost your job. Now you've lost some income. Now you've lost some of your stored resources. Now you're worried about your health and you've been in free fall. And even if the chute is open, you're still not real sure where you're going to land and how this whole thing's going to work out. And here's what I want you to hear. On this Palm Sunday, I want us to be reminded God has a plan. God has a plan. And we're going to see in Matthew chapter 21, his plan, an amazing plan that God has. We're going to see Jesus coming in the triumphal entry. Do you know that in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is an account of this triumphal entry, of Jesus entering into Jerusalem for this Passion Week, this Holy Week. And so we're going to look and see his interest. How do you think Jesus would enter? What would be the way he would come into a city? Now, we know that there's all sorts of ways you can enter. Hollywood stars enter on a red carpet. The president enters a room to hail to the chief. Sports teams enter the playing field through a tunnel or through the dugout with baseball. We know who they are by where they're entering from. Jesus is going to enter Jerusalem in the most humble of fashions on the back of a donkey. And I want us to see God has a plan. He has a plan and we have a response. That's what we want to get to today. In this time where it feels like we've been pushed out of a plane, God has a plan and we have a response that is to him. Look in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Matthew 21, verse 1 through 6. Here's what it says. When they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage, the mount, and at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, telling them, go into the village ahead of you. And at once you will find a donkey tied there with her foal. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it, watch his response, and he will send them at once. Verse 4. This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet, plans of God, might be fulfilled. Tell daughter Zion, see, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Then the disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. Jesus had a plan for how this was going to go. The first thing that he says is he says, okay, disciples, I want two of you to go and I want you to go to this area. I've got a certain place picked out. I've got a certain spot that you're going to go and you're going to go there. And when you go there, you're going to find a donkey and you're going to find its foal, a baby right there that's right there that you're going to be able to take. And if anybody says, what are you doing? You just tell them the Lord needs it. And they're going to say, okay, send it on. Let's do it. God had a plan even down to the spot where Christ's donkey that he would ride into, that I'll show you in a minute, that's a part of a plan as well, that it would be untied, that it would be the right owner, the right place. Here's what I want you to know. God's plan is to use our resources to take Jesus further down the road. God's plan is to use our resources. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about serving others. I'm talking about loving and calling people and sharing Christ with people. I'm talking about inviting people to Broken for You. I'm talking about Easter Sunday, an invitation to hear the gospel of Christ. I'm talking about those things. God wants to use you, even though we can't really get out there like we usually do. Even though we've got some issues of fear in our life, God wants to use us to take Jesus further down the road. He wants the message of Christ to go further down the road. God has a plan. He planned for that donkey to be there at that place. Do you know the verse of scripture I read to you? It's a little bit different in your Bible. If you're looking in the scripture in verse 5, it says, tell daughter Zion, see your king is coming to you on a donkey. That is Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It's a prophecy from hundreds of years ago, and I'll show you more in a minute, of a prophecy of God having a plan. And I want you to hear right now, on this Palm Sunday, 2020, something we could have never expected, God has a plan. And he wants to have that plan involve you. He wants to minister to your heart. He wants to show you compassion. He wants to be the strong refuge. He's planned for you to turn to him. He's planned for you to pray for him. He's planned to give his peace to you in the midst of this storm. God has a plan, and he sends these disciples, and he sends them to find this donkey, and he finds this donkey. Why? Because the donkey's going to take Jesus a little bit further down the road. And you and I right now, hear this. We are a part of something historic. Now, we see right now it's historic to the negative, but let's be prayerful that it could be historic to the eternal, that God could use this in an amazing way. You and I are a part of the historic. Will we realize and say, okay, God, we trust you where we are. We didn't know 2020 would be like this. We didn't know Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday would be like this, but we're going to trust your plan and we're going to respond with yes at once. What was his response? What was the response of the owner of the donkey? It says in verse 3, if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he, the owner, will send them at once. So what do? The answer is we say yes to God. God says, I want you to give me your burdens. Yes, Lord. at once. I'll give you my burdens. I want you to give me your trust. Yes, Lord, I give you my trust at once. I want you to realize your money has always been my money. And I'm not as worried about losing as you are about losing, because I know I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And we're able to say, yes, Lord, right now, at once, I give this to you and I trust you. Yes to prayer, yes to trust, yes to surrender, yes to inviting others, yes to letting God do his work. Yes, at once, I say to you, God, I want to trust you. Let your trust, let your faith grow. And just say, yes, Lord. Trust you with my job. I trust you with losing my job. I trust you with having to lay off some of my employees. I trust you with the economy. I trust you with my health. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my grandparents. I trust you with my parents. I trust you with whoever. God, I trust you at once. Here's what I love about this. Have you ever noticed in this, the disciples didn't have to go but to one donkey owner. Just one. They didn't have to go, Johnny said no, and so we'll go down, and Billy said no, and then Jenny said no, and then so-and-so said no. They didn't have to go to 10 different donkey owners to finally get Jesus a donkey. They went to one donkey owner, one place where God planted, and in the sovereignty of God, he released. And he said, I give it to you. Jesus, I want to take you further down the road. That's the greatest thing I could ever do, and I release to you. Do you know God has gotten our attention through this? This is the only time in recent history that the church has not had to compete with tournament sports. This is the only time in recent history church has not had to compete with staying up late on a Saturday night so that we'd wake up and be alert on a Sunday morning. Do you know that this is the only time that the church hasn't had to compete with, I'm going to be out of town this weekend and I won't be able to connect. These moments, God has put, the only thing going on a Sunday right now is the gospel of Christ being shared throughout the nation. So much that last week, one of the aspects that we had going with our webcast, it crashed because everybody in the nation was logging in. Not to our church, but the church. Church attendance has gone wildly up because everybody only's got one donkey now. And we're saying, Lord, we're going to give it to you. There's no competition for what's happening on Sunday. We give it all to you, and I want to be, and I want you to be. Let's be the one. You only got to turn to me once, God, because I know that my heart, it is more likely to say later than it is to say now. And I want to be a Christian that says, Lord, now I'll pray. Now I'll walk with you. Now let my resources, let whoever I am and whatever I've got and whatever you want to do through me, I want you, Lord, to take this and use this to take Jesus further down the road in my life and in somebody else's life as well. So God's plan was right there from Zechariah 9, verse 9, prophesied hundreds of years ago to say, here we go, right here in this moment, and that donkey that I prophesied hundreds of years ago is going to be right there. And that owner, I've been preparing his heart. He's going to say, at once, at once. Let's be people like that. Now, I want you to notice another thing about this. I want you to notice the detail of this. Two disciples. Do you know there'll be a time when we'll join together again? We need each other. God has designed us and wired each other. Do you know that physical touch is still a love language? We still need hugs. We still need touch to be able to love one another well and to appropriately hug one another and touch one another. That's still a part of who God has wired us to be. Here, two are going. God knows that companionship is necessary. God knows that friendship is necessary. He wants your family to connect like you never have before. And yet in these times, we're alone but together. And I just want to encourage you, let's keep our eyes on those days when they come, when we're able to be one-on-one and one-on-groups together again. It's important. It's important. I watched a little clip of an old baseball game, and I was like, man, those were the days to just get a Coke and a hot dog and sit in a crowd. I didn't know how good we had it. Well, you know what? The Lord understands we need one another. So let's stay connected even in this time. Because see, here's what God's doing. God's doing something in us. He's doing something in us so that we become more of that donkey owner that says, Whatever, Lord, I surrender it to you. It's all about you. It's not about oil. It's not about Dow Jones. It's not about parties. It's not about gatherings. It's all about you. We want all those things to be great and fun and wonderful, but Lord, it's all about you. I received this poem. Someone sent me this poem that they had found, and it's an amazing poem. I want you to really listen. If you're kind of right now sitting in your home, you're starting to kind of settle into that couch a little too deep, or you've begun to kind of work on breakfast just a bit, I want you to, or dinner just a bit, I want you to be able to come back and to be able to really listen to this. This is so insightful. Here's what it says. We have all been exposed, not necessarily to the virus. We have all been exposed by the virus. Corona is exposing us, exposing our weak sides, exposing our dark sides, exposing what normally lays far beneath the surface of our souls, hidden behind the invisible masks that we wear, now exposed by the paper masks that we can't hide far enough behind. Corona is exposing our addiction to comfort, our obsession with control, our compulsion to hoard, our protection of ourselves. Corona is peeling back our layers, tearing down our walls, revealing our illusions, leveling our best laid plans. Corona is exposing the gods we worship. Our health, our hurry, our sense of security, our favorite lies, our secret lusts, our misplaced trust. Corona is calling everything into question. What is the church without a building? What is my worth without income? How do we plan without uncertainty? How do we love despite risk? Corona is exposing me. My mindless numbing, my endless scrolling, my careless words, my fragile nerves. We have all been exposed. Our junk is laid bare. Our fear is made known. Our Band-Aid is torn. Our masquerade is done. So what now? What's left? Clean hands, clear eyes, tender hearts. What Corona reveals, God can heal. Come, Lord Jesus, and have mercy on us. Written by Sarah Bourne. Wow! We're so worried of being exposed to the virus. Are we realizing we've been exposed by the virus? All of the things that we have put all our comfort and hope in, besides Jesus, and God is going to use this to pull us back to seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. We've got everything else way before God. And God said, okay, time out. Let's just cancel everything. Let's just cancel everything. And let me get my eyes, your eyes, back on me. Look at what happens if we continue on in this passage of scripture. I'm going to post this online, this poem that I just read, so you'll be able to get that on our Facebook pages and be able to do that, because it's a lot to take in. So I want to keep us moving here on God's plan, on a second plan. I just got two plans for you, but this one's really meaty. It's chapter 21 of Matthew, verse 7 through 11. Here's what it says. It says, and they brought the donkey and its foal, and they laid, notice, their clothes on them. And he sat on them, and very large crowds spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them along the road. Then the crowd went ahead of him, and those who followed shouted. This is Psalm 118. Verses 25 through 26, very familiar to the Jewish people. Hosanna, which means Lord, save us. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in an uproar. Who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Here's what God's gonna do, another plan. We saw that God's plan is to use us and to use these things, even as Corona, to take Jesus further down the road. His second plan is this, proof that Jesus saves. Proof that Jesus saves. He's going to prove to us by this whole thing, Jesus is the Savior. Now, how do we get that? Here's what he's going to do. Have you ever been to a car show? And they've got some amazing, beautiful cars. At a great car show, they'll not only have the car, they'll have the hood open because they want you to see this engine in this specimen of a car. Jesus is opening the hood. God is opening the hood. And he said, oh, you just think I'm coming in on a donkey into Jerusalem? No, let me tell you how I'm coming in. First of all, I'm coming in with Zechariah 9:9 in my mind. Hundreds of years ago, they said that the Messiah is coming in on a donkey. I'm doing that. Not only was I born in Bethlehem, not only born of a virgin, in case you didn't know, I'm gonna stroll in on this donkey just as Zechariah said. Number two, there's gonna be Daniel. There's a prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. It was prophesied 483 years before this day happened, that the Messiah would come into Jerusalem. And to the day, Jesus comes in on this donkey, prophesied 483 years prior in Daniel, to say, God has a plan. And his plan works itself out. Do you know that 483 years ago, wherever that was, whatever that day was, for this moment right now, God knew this day would be here and you'd be where you are and I'd be where I am. God knew that plan. He had that prophesied of Daniel for Jesus to go in, and he knew this day would be here today. He knows the day of your birth. He knows the day of your death. He knows every digit in your income. He knows every digit in your stored resources. He knows everything that will happen. He knows the hair on every head. God has a plan. And sometimes we don't like God's plans, but we've got to trust that they're good and that he's got something further. See, Jesus is coming in on a donkey, prophesied in Zechariah, prophesied in Daniel that he would come in on this very day. And he's coming in, and here's where he's coming, folks. He's coming to the cross. The people that are going to cheer for him, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, are going to shout crucify in just a few days. He's walking into death so that he can walk out with resurrection. And guys, we're walking into a season possibly of death within our country. And maybe God has a plan for resurrection of spiritual life that comes of what God can do. So he's prophesied in Zechariah, it's prophesied in Daniel, and he's entering on the day. Just so happens that this was the day in Jewish culture before the Passover, on this day, on this Palm Sunday, to come in at this moment. He is prophesied on that day to come in by Daniel and Zechariah, but it's also the exact day in which they would choose the Passover lamb that would be slain. They would choose on this day in Jewish culture, the Passover lamb. And it is on that day that Jesus walks in, comes in on a donkey. Not only does he come into Jerusalem, he comes in through the sheep gate. He comes into the place, it's called Stephen's Gate now, where Stephen was martyred. It is in Acts. It is where then they would come and they would bring the sheep that would come in that would be slain to cover their sins. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is proof. God's plan is proof that Jesus saves. He's riding on a donkey, prophesied, coming in on the prophecy of Daniel, coming in through the sheep gate on the day that the Passover lamb would be slain. And I want you to hear it. Oh, I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it. God has a plan. And we don't get to control that, but we do have a control over our response. His plan, go find the donkey. Yes, right now. That's my response. His plan, I want to prove Jesus is the Messiah. Our response, yes, of personal praise and celebration. Personal praise and celebration. Now, their praise isn't, oh, God, everything's great. They're celebrating that way. We're not praising, oh, God, everything's great. But here's how we are coming into that praise. Hosanna. Do you know what Hosanna means? Hosanna means, Lord, save us now. Now, Lord. We need you to save us now. We need this so greatly. Hosanna, Lord, save us now. The whole world has been humbled. And we've got to realize that all of us have got to call out and say, Lord, save us now. If ever we needed you, we need you now. Song I love, it's called Run to the Father by Cody Carnes. It says this, I've carried a burden for far too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. Yes, I see it now. I'm laying it down. and I know that I need you. I run to the Father. I run into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. It's been exposed by the virus. My soul needs a friend. I run to the Father again and again. I lay it down. Did you see when I read it? They laid down their clothes on the street. They laid down their clothes, the disciples, on the back of the donkey Jesus would ride. They laid down their palm branches. Here's what I want you to hear. You and I have been wearing a garment of heaviness, clothes of worry, clothes of anxiety, clothes of financial, clothes of fear of our health, clothes of fear for our loved ones. And here's what I want you to do. Take those off on this Palm Sunday and lay them down and let Jesus be the bearer of the burden as he rides on that donkey. Lay your clothes on his donkey and allow him to take your burdens. Lay your clothes down. Let him to trample, if you will, the burdens and worries that we have. Let's lay down our palm branches and say, Lord, we give you praise and we want to lay down all these things to you. If we don't learn from this trial, what will ever teach us? If we don't surrender now, when will you ever surrender? If you don't realize now, God is more important than anything else in the world, anything that's competed for your Sunday, God is greater. And if you don't realize that and I don't realize that now, when will we ever lay our garments down? What will it take? And I want you to hear right now to lay your heart down at the foot of the cross. Jesus wants to save your soul. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you pray in this time. I'll lead you at the end as well, but to pray and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I want to lay down my life to you, and I want you to do your work in me and through me. Be my Savior. Forgive my sins. Turn to Jesus. We're turning to Jesus in this time. Lay down all the disappointments. Lay down their disappointments in school, lay down the disappointments in sports, lay down the disappointments in your business, in your life, and let Jesus just lay down those garments, those clothes of heaviness, and put it on the back of his donkey and let those go, taking Jesus further down the road. You know, we're seeing a lot of turning to Christ in this time and turning to God. Let me just show you a couple pictures. Here's the first picture I want you to see. This is Vice President Pence's office of them praying there as his staff and the task force to be able to do that. Vice President Pence is a godly man, amazing, amazing man of God. And so we just see that of prayer. Let me show you a hospital picture. This is from Miami, or excuse me, this one's from Nashville. On the roof of the hospital, doctors and nurses in prayer where the Lifelight Hospital helicopter would land. Let me show you another picture of a hospital in Miami. Same picture, doctors and nurses, trauma, ER doctors on their knees before God on the rooftop, calling out to God, laying it down before them. What an amazing, amazing thing that is. Now, I want to show you in just a second a video. As we've been seeing God move in so many ways of the Lord doing his work, to see this of God moving, of us being called to our knees. I want to show you this video. Let me give you the framework of it first. It's from Georgia. And they put on kind of viral, it got viral. Everybody's going to go to the hospital. Cars filled up the hospital parking lot with social distance. Nobody got out of their car and got close to anybody. They turned on their hazard lights. They started honking their horns so that the doctors and nurses would know their support. Then they had loudspeakers that one of the churches set up that played the song Waymaker. We've sung it at our church. Hospital workers came to the roof of the hospital and stood with their arms up. It's about a 20-second video I'll show you in a moment, of singing to the Lord, Waymaker. Here's the words of it. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are. People calling out on God. Watch this 20-second video and let it touch your heart of how we're calling out for Jesus. Let's watch this together. I want you to know God has a plan. God has a plan. And the plan right now is tough. And we don't know what God allows and what God causes, and that's always something for the heavens. But I want you to know that God is turning people to Him. And that's what we've got to pray for. The ending of coronavirus, the healing of people, the stopping of it, no question. Wisdom for our leaders, amazing wisdom. We need to pray for them. But God is at work as well. Students, I want you to hear me. Lay down the disappointment of school as a kid or a high school student or a middle school student. Lay that down before the Lord and say, God, what is it that I can do? How can I honor you by honoring my parents? How can I honor you? What your donkey may be that you've just got to be able to be honoring more so to your parents and let that family unit come together. You're going to probably end up savoring these days as we look back to be able to spend this time with your family. There's 2 million people in Jerusalem. When Jesus comes in and the palm branches, they lift up their praise to God. Are you praying? Are you praising? Is this affecting you personally, spiritually? They laid down their garments to God. Are you giving the heaviness of the garments and laying them down to God? They're waving their palm branches to the Lord. It's personal what's happening. That's what's taking place. Personal praise is going on, and God is at work. Can I just tell you this, just being frank with you? This week, I had a really sleepless night. I just was thinking and praying and concerned and worried, and I just felt the heaviness of the garments of leadership and the heaviness of trying to move us through all of this, and I just didn't sleep well. I got up in the middle of the night about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I just couldn't sleep, and I prayed, and then I went back to sleep a little bit and woke up early in the morning before anybody else, and I just sat on the porch and just had my Bible open, my journal open, and was just trying to say, Lord, Lord, Lord. And through the midst of that, I just prayed, God, would you use this? Would you use this? But you never know what God's up to. Jesus is walking into Jerusalem with the cross coming before him, and then the resurrection's gonna come. So let me just briefly tell you this, and we're gonna wrap up our time. That day, I just said, Lord, I'm just gonna keep trusting. I'm gonna keep trusting. That day, something happened. 3 things happened for our church. One, Fox 26, the TV station in Houston, called and said, can we air your Easter service? We want to put an Easter service on of you guys on TV. And we said, yes. And that happened that next day after that fitful night of sleep. That next day, it connected and affirmed. So we're going to be on Fox 26 this Easter Sunday. We're not completely sure of the time, but it's going to work out to be there on Fox 26 by their asking. Then later that day, we were connected with Lifeway Christian Resources, and they had been asking, we need a church to be able to broadcast to the nation. We need a church. What church could it be? And our people were talking to their people about that and some other things as well. And they walk into this person's office and said, we've got the church. It's Houston's First Baptist Church. So we're going to be a part of their Digital Pass network that has 2.6 million subscribers to it. I don't know that they're all going to watch. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, we're going to be the one church that's going to be featured for Lifeway Digital Pass. Wow. Throughout the nation to be able to happen. If that wasn't enough, I got a call later on that day from Broadman Holman, which is the publishing arm of Lifeway, and they said, hey, we know of your moment devotional that you've had, and I talked to them about it and said, hey, any way you can use this? We would like to publish the moment devotional for the year 2022. Can't get it published quick enough now. 2022, the moment devotional. All the money that we would receive, author's royalties, any of that, all of that going to a mission cause. That happened, those 3 things happened inside of about 2 hours of me saying, God, I just got to give it to you. Lord, I'm fighting for praise. God, I'm fighting for truth. I'm fighting for hanging in there. And we just got to hang on and let God do his work. And then those 3 things happened. Countless texts came to my phone of encouragement as well. It was amazing what God did. And let me tell you this. I want you to hear this. And then we're going to wrap up. This is going to be a long haul to get to the end of April. It's going to be a long haul if we got to go further than that. Will you, as a student, a kid, a parent, a single adult, will you be faithful? Will you be faithful? Will the testimony be you walked in peace and you walked in prayer and you stayed faithful to God? Will that be your testimony? And you laid the garments of heaviness down before him. Because God has a plan. for you and for me and for us and for this world. And we've seen it lived out in this. And then it said in verse 10, the whole city was in an uproar. Let me tell you what, the whole city's in an uproar. The whole nation's in an uproar. The whole world's in an uproar. But let's spin that uproar to be an uproar about Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world. Let's let that be the uproar. I want to pray with you. And I want to turn our attention to Christ. And I want you to take your heart, your clothes, your palm branches, and lay them down before Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ as Savior, I want you to come and know Christ as Savior. And I want all of us to invite people to Broken for You and to Easter Sunday, because I'm going to share the gospel real clearly in those two places. It's going to be shared real clearly to be able to invite people to come to Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And we pray in Your name, Lord. We are humble before You. We need You, God. We need You so greatly, Lord. Doctors are calling out for You on helipads. People are singing to You from rooftops. Government officials are bowing before You, Lord. We need You. So, Father, we know You walked in on Palm Sunday with a bigger plan in mind than just the cross. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of death. But You've got a bigger plan in mind. If you're not 100% sure that you know Jesus Christ as Savior, would you pray right now and say, Jesus, I want You to save my soul. I lay my sin before You. Trample it on the cross. Forgive me. Save me. If you prayed that, let us know. Let us know. We'll help you as much as we can. Father, for those of us who know You, it's a worrisome time. It's a difficult time. But we just lay all these things down before You. We pray this, Father, for our city, for our nation, for our world, but more so for our hearts. We lay this before You. On this week in particular, Lord, let us be faithful to trust in this holy passion week that a resurrection's coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.